Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
All right, today we are talking about premarital affairs.
What's popping, y'all?
Hey, listen, premarital affairs, marriage versus dating. Do the rules still apply? That's what we'll be talking about today. Just in a minute. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
We are back. We are back. And we are coming to you live.
What up? What up?
Sherry Real Talk. I'm your girl, Lady Free. I'm your girl, Lady Free.
Put the number.
This is your boy.
How y'all doing,
Pastor
y'all?
J, come on with it.
What's going on, y'all? Listen, before we get started, there has been a lot of birthdays. You want to give birthday shout outs. There have been a lot of wedding anniversaries that we missed.
Janine, how are you, darling?
So if y'all want to give, hey, Tisha, if y'all want to give a birthday shout out or anniversary shout out, or choir anniversary shout out, or usher anniversary shout out. If you want to give an anniversary shout out, this is your time. We're going to get started. We got a good guest today. Our overseer, Prophet Chris Burton. He's going to be calling in a second.
And you guys know him from last
week. Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about he ended with the period.
Yeah, we invited him on the show today, y'all, because we want to get a couple of perspectives from for everybody.
Come on, baby.
So, y'all, give some shout-outs, y'all.
Hey, babe, how are you?
Hey, Tisha Thomas, what's good? He good? How's everybody doing today? We know the Braves are playing tonight, so I know we be in competition. The Braves and the Houston Astros.
We love the Houston Astros, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of caught in the middle. Yeah, I'm kind of torn right now. So, yeah, I love Atlanta and I love Houston. So, hey, let's just have a good game, really. As we talk, though, for those that are coming in, y'all, let's get some shout outs. We do not own the rights to this music. This is my boy Jules Bartholomew. He's up for a Grammy this year, y'all. So let's vote for him. My boy Jules Bartholomew. My sister Alaya, 16th wedding anniversary. Janine Harris, celebrating 20 years. Yes. To my husband, to my boyfriend, my boy.
Guys, we're making this thing go down. It's happening right here.
Chris Burton.
Real talk. It's happening right here. We are live.
Yes, sir. We are live.
Marital affairs.
Yes,
we are
yes.
Talking about, look, dating versus marriage.
Yes, we got
a
guess.
Or is there a difference?
We got one of my boys, he called in, my boy Chris Burton. He called in. I asked him to come in to be a part of this session today.
Yes.
And we just kind of want to deal with some perspectives today.
Yeah,
Chris, greet the people. My boy Chris Burton is on the line.
God bless your heart. Listen, I have to be apostolic tonight. God bless your heart. Good to see everybody. I pray the Lord is blessing you
Come
right
on.
Now.
Thank you, Lord. Bless us.
Amen.
Amen.
Before we get petty and all of that, you know, we got to be spiritual first. So God bless everybody.
Monique Wallace, happy birthday.
Happy Chris, anniversary.
We giving shout-outs. We taking a couple
Reverend
of minutes.
Faye
oh,
Long.
To Reverend Faye. Oh, yes, I remember her.
Oh, my God.
She was the youth pastor at Shekinah when we were there. Yes. Today. Oh, wow, her birthday. Wow, happy birthday, Faye Long.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Overseer.
Yes, I got you, Janine. Janine is on a date. Janine, please. Ministry begins at home. So please, rewatch. And we hope you enjoy your still celebrating your 20 years
That's
anniversary.
Right. Overseer, if you can see the comments, definitely comment on what you see as well. So
Overseer Chris sure. Burton on the line. So listen, y'all. I have put it up on Facebook earlier. Me and my wife had a little controversy going on. And we had a controversy going on because she came to the shop and she got a haircut.
That's right.
And she did not pay for her service. She didn't pay for it.
That's right.
But it's cool.
Not in cash.
But I, yeah, you know, I know. Not in paper. We know. But what happened was.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on now.
So what happened, Chris? Why we got Chris on the line? So what happened was, but I know it's the conversation actually it stemmed from a counseling session that I was having in this chair, because that's where my church is at. It's right. in my barber chair.
Right, right, yeah.
So this guy, he came up to me and he was talking about being in a relationship for over 20 years.
June.
And what he was doing was he was calling her his wife, but I kind of forgot what he said about how long they've been together. But he came and he was like, yeah, we've been together 20 years. And so I was like, wait, no, he didn't tell me how. I asked him, I said, so how long y'all been together? He said, we've been together 20 years. I said, you've been married for 20 years? He said, well, we've been together for 20 years. So you might as well say we married because we together still. So I said, no, you're not married. He said, yes, we are. He said, marriage is just a piece of paper. What's the difference between a piece of paper and us already having the benefits of being married?
Right. Okay, come on.
You hear me, Prophet?
Come on.
Yes, I'm listening.
So his perspective, and then I said, well, what are you scared? Why are you afraid of the commitment?
Right.
He said, all his friends that he know, every time they get married or cross down the married aisle after being in the relationship for so long, the relationship does not work out.
My God.
Mataria, my sister's on here, 20 years of fornication. So my question is, why is it not good to move in before you get married? Because it's not good. Do you, Prophet, we want to get a couple of perspectives. My wife's going to give a perspective, and the Prophet going to give his perspective.
Well, let me give mine before the Prophet, because you know how deep he go. You know, he goes into Jacob's well. I mean, I just might have a cup or something. So what I'm going to say with mine is statistics does show, and I'm going there, that most people, when they live together before marriage, I can't say the exact number, but they're more so doomed to failure than for those who go and do it the right way, in the right order.
Wow.
See, order is important. Order is very important. So if you go out of order, then you're more than likely setting yourself up for divorce. That's what statistics say. And according to God, God loves order. So, of course, we know this is his thing, his creation, his union. So, you know, when we go out of the order of God, then we can't expect it to be blessed. So that's my little take on, that's my little cup. So Overseer, we know you.
Prophet, come on, give your perspective on what you think about living with the person before you get married.
Before marriage.
What is your perspective on that, Prophet?
Well, speaking from experience,
please call from experience.
Want us to think that everyone who was saved never went through a season where you shagged. We're not going to play them kind of games tonight.
Thank you, sir. Please keep it 100, because that's what this show is about.
Because one of the things that I recognize and I realize even about my own history is I was hindered by taking care of things that I needed to do, playing house. And one thing that we find is that there's a lot of people who want covenant benefits, but not the responsibility of covenant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And relationship and covenant is two totally different things.
Right, right. Relationship. Okay, so this is what we need, because we kind of had a moment where we froze for a second. Can you please repeat? You know, most pastors repeat themselves anyway. You know, so repeat that for our viewers one more time.
Yes, ma'am. I said that relationship is different from covenant. And one thing that I found out in my own personal experiences is that when you try to bring someone into your life and you don't have order, you create dysfunction within the household.
Mm, come on.
And I found out that there's a lot of people that want to come into your house because their house is in shambles.
Come into my house. Come on now.
They want someone to rescue them from the responsibilities of taking care of their own affairs.
That's their responsibility.
Yes.
And so,
Matari is saying some good stuff on here. Go ahead,
I found out, y'all. I found out, and this is what I found out that was more detrimental to me, was that when I allowed myself to live with the woman and we were not married, we started operating at a level that neither one of us was equipped to handle.
Come on with it. We have First Lady Prophet Carmen Burton on the line.
Prophet, can I interrupt you for one good second? I know you're about to get deep, but please, I have to say this. Please excuse me, First Lady Burton, because you should be on this call as well. Because so we want to give homage to the First Lady Burton.
That's right.
Please forgive us because you should be. But we getting started. Pastor Burton's wife. We gonna if you can get on some kind of way to give your perspective, do so. Feel free. But I'm sorry, Prophet. I had to give the wife.
Absolutely. I was gonna give my wife a shout out too.
Okay.
But this was before we got married.
Okay,
this is,
I got
this
you.
Not even talking about me and my wife that I'm have now, but this was many, many moons ago. Because some people think that when you're talking, you're talking about yesterday.
Right.
No, we're talking many, many moons ago.
Yeah, okay. We're speaking from experience, absolutely.
Right, but I found out that I gave too much to someone that I did not even know if God had them in my future.
Wow, come on now.
And so I started making marital investments to someone that I did not even have clarity, and I was not even assured if they was going to survive my process.
My goodness. My goodness. This is good.
Pastor Chris Burton, stop right there. Stop. Don't. Boy, before you move, before run. Because we got to deal with that. You said that you was not sure if this person could deal with your process.
Your process.
See, what happens a lot of times, and I did this too. This is why Chris is my brother, because we can relate, and God knows we relate. But a lot of us, what we do sometimes is we try to survive, and we believe that moving in with somebody, it is like a financial. It's a good financial fit, or it's a survival technique.
Right.
So what we do is we're not even looking at, and being honest, we're not even looking at whether this person is even capable of even being a part of this process.
Yeah.
All we thinking is about is I gotta make it. So a lot of times we go in there with a selfish attitude.
Uh-huh.
That so when he said that, it just kind of like it lit me up, Pastor. And this is just being real. Pastor Chris, you lit me up when you said that. That was so deep right there.
I told y'all it's a fireball.
This is gonna be a fireball tonight, y'all. The thumbs up. Please share this. Please share, y'all.
Yeah, I think the thing is though, we had to be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
That we were looking more than just sex.
Yeah. Okay, come on.
Exactly.
We were trying to find stability within the hands of someone
who's
not even stable themselves.
Come on, the pastor.
I wish you was right.
That's right.
So you start giving the little resources that you have, the little time that you have, the little expertise that you have, and you're realizing that now that they're in the house, they can't help me.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Why? And after we done got them in the house.
I got them in the house now.
Yes.
Yeah. I found out that they don't have the skills and the tools to build the house.
Exactly.
So now you see the deficit. And it's not enough. And now here you go with the hurting one another.
Wait a minute. I got to piggyback on what you said, Pastor. He said they in the house, but they don't have tools to help build the house.
Oh, my goodness. Come on with it.
But here's the thing, though. Except God build the house.
They
that labor. Labor in vain.
It's my leaving. Come on now. Is it in vain?
So here's the thing, Pastor. Here's the thing. And this is just being honest. When you are living with somebody, you're going to have sex.
Oh yeah, you're gonna do that.
That's something you're not gonna avoid. And sometimes we get so comfortable.
Uh-huh.
We get so comfortable. Please share this video, y'all. This is some good information going out.
Share,
like
please.
And share. Please share. Some of us get caught in the sex, and when sex is involved, now we start. Now we get involved spiritually.
Yeah.
We're spiritually involving ourselves and connecting ourselves with somebody when there's no guarantee of a future.
No commitment.
Come on.
See.
That is powerful, Jay.
My goodness.
There's no guarantee of a future.
For a woman, and I'm sure for men too, but when there is no commitment, you feel the instability. It's like you feel you're not secure in that relationship, and you know it. You know that at any moment, this person can, because they have one foot in and one foot out, because there is no commitment, they can leave you. Quick.
It's like driving. That's right. It's like driving a car. I said that was my example. That was my example to the guy I was talking to.
Uh-huh.
He said that marriage is the only difference between living together and the marriage is the piece of paper. I told him everybody can drive a car.
Right.
But to be legally able to drive, you got to have a license.
Or else you're
to be considered a driver in your state.
And then you go get that siren behind you. Yes, God.
So Pastor Chris, I want to ask you a question on this. I want to ask you a perspective on this.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think it is hard for men, and I'm going to say men because we are the leaders, to commit? Why are men afraid of commitment?
Wow, this is good.
Well, I know one of the reasons is because most men have not gotten over the disappointment of their mothers.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I've never heard that. Come on with
me. Talk to
elaborate.
Us, Chris. Talk to us, Pastor.
We got to remember that our parents are the first expression of what real relationship and covenant
true.
Is all
that's
about.
True. Right, that's true. Right, that's true, Pastor. Right.
And a lot of times we got to a place, and I can even talk for me about experience, mm-hmm. is that I was looking for a woman to be a mother figure. And I could not decipher that my mother was supposed to be a mother figure and teach me what I was supposed to be looking for in regards to a wife.
Wow.
Because that is your first initial interaction with the opposite sex. And so a lot of times, a lot of people are not honest that they still, especially men, that they haven't got over the disappointment of the mother not giving them what they needed. And as a result, they had that first experience with a girl in high school or junior high school, and they broke their heart, or you know, there was a level of contention, and you know, he gave all to that young girl, and the young girl broke his heart by going with one of the homeboys, and he never got over that.
And so
as a result of that, that man, that young boy never was healed. And so now they started hating women.
Wow, come on.
And so when you start hating something, you lose value and appreciation for it.
Wow. Yes.
Most men don't want to commit because they don't want to experience the stereotypes of their past.
Wow.
Oh, wow. See, I told you he was going to go with Jacob's way.
Pastor, I got to piggyback on you. Pastor, this is God here. I'm telling you, because it's so amazing to see where our stories have lined up and listen to us right now. Hey, Candy, I don't want anybody. Here's the thing. I believe men are scared of commitment because of the fear of not knowing.
And it comes from
the fear of not knowing. A lot of us, because we don't know whether sometimes because if we can't see the future, if we don't see what's going to happen, the first thing we think about that is not going to work out. So we're scared of the commitment because of the fear of it not working out. Right. So a lot of us are fearful. So even now, and just like he said about the mothers, a lot of times because of the fathers ain't there either.
Yeah.
The whole relationship thing, you know what I'm saying?
And like Candy says here, she says, I don't want anyone like my father. So while the men are not committing these days because of what you guys have pointed out to us tonight, a lot of times I believe as women, we commit too much because we're looking for our father. So when we finally find a guy, because we don't know what it looked like, we stay too long a lot of times because we think that, you know, we have there's some way we're going to be able to work it out, or we're going to be able to fix him, or we're going to be able to help him, because we truly don't know what it is for that father to be there. So sometimes we're looking so hard, and when we finally get someone, no matter what the issues are, a lot of times I feel like we stay too long. Because we don't know what that father situation is supposed to look like. Maybe this is it. Maybe all marriages go through this. Maybe all relationships are like this, you know. So it goes back to our parents. You know, the Bible does say train up a child in the way they should go. But if the parents aren't there to train, because the mother's always out working, trying to make sure everything, you know, food get on the table and the kids have, you know, clothes and all stuff, and the father's away trying to do or not, you know, whatever the case, then what are we training them? What does the training look like now?
Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. This is what it looks like, Pastor Burton. The praise. There's a praise in the house.
And to be honest, I love the praise, but a lot of times that's what we do. We pray. We have been taught to praise our way through situations instead of sitting down with these young boys and young girls, helping them to understand what the reality of the situation is.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because just to take it a step further.
What's up, Thomas Hunter?
You cannot trust someone else if you cannot trust yourself to
come
be faithful.
Come on.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And if you got a wandering eye, if you got unfaithful tendencies, if you know you was a player, if you know that you had unfaithful attitudes in regards to relationship, it's going to add to your lack of commitment and your lack of wanting to be committed.
Right. Yes.
Because you will think, like most people think, that what's going to happen to me is what I put out, because karma does come back.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And even more so, too, back in the day, women were supposed to be virgins before they consummated with their husband. You know, that white sheet was laid out. And if there was no blood on that sheet, you know that woman was with somebody else prior. So we have to remember that Satan is very subtle. See, God is suddenly, but Satan is very subtle. So something that may start out small in our mind, something as simple as if you are having sex with your mate before marriage, then what you have just committed to and what you have just trained yourself to do is have sex with someone you're not married to. So because you're training yourself to have sex with somebody you're not married to, whether you guys get married or not, guess what the connotation is going to become? In that marriage, you are going to have tendencies, or you're going to have desires still to have sex to somebody you're not married to.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times people end up showing that kind of character. And then we go into, like I was saying last night, all men are dogs or females thirsty. But really, to be honest, what we've done is we failed ourselves in not keeping ourselves. And we've become one with so many different people by laying down with them before marriage that we don't even realize what we've done to our own mental and our own souls.
So I want to ask you guys, both of you guys, a question. Mm-hmm. I want to ask both of you. Now, the lady that we talked to today, we met somebody randomly on the street today, mm-hmm. and she really kind of answered our debate without even knowing that we was debating about this tough topic.
Yeah.
And again, she had a son. She took her son to the barbershop.
Uh-huh.
She was not married to the guy.
Right.
But she felt entitled to not paying because she felt she paid this dude. She paid him already. And I was like, you're not married to him. So how did you pay him? That was my question. So my thing is,
she take credit cards.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, why do we feel without the marriage? Why do we feel, because we give ourselves, I'm going to ask y'all both this question. Uh-huh. Why do people feel before marriage, because they give themselves intimately to someone, that they feel now that there's a level of ownership there, that they feel like there's a level of entitlement to the marriage without being married?
All right, I'm going to let you take that one, doctor.
Well, one of the things I believe is people who have low self-esteem use their privacy as their payment.
Ooh.
That's good, Pat. That's good, Bishop. That's good.
My goodness.
Their privacy as their payment. Wow. Come on.
I just had to let that linger for a minute.
Because let that sink in.
We have to understand that if a person cannot be intimate with you without touching you, they don't know you.
Oh, okay. My God.
Wow.
Please elaborate.
It's when God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to give you a helpmate.
Yeah.
And when Adam saw Eve, the first thing that Adam said was, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh."
He
did not even touch her, did not have conversation with her, but he had a revelation about who she was before there was any physical interaction.
Wow. Okay.
My thing is this. If we can get a revelation about a person before we touch them, it will help us to make the decision on if we need to bring them into our intimate spaces.
I felt that right in the middle of the statement.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Thomas, we're going to come back to that question.
Are you guys hearing what is being said? Okay, come on.
Because if your privacy is your payment, when your privacy go bad, you have nothing else to work with.
Yes, that's right.
Because the JJ and penis get old after a while. We get older. And
old Jimmy don't work like he used to no more.
No. Stuff that used to be all perky now.
Yeah.
To the ground.
You owe Sarah and Abraham.
That's right. That's right.
And so
we got some good comments on here.
Absolutely. And so if sex is the payment, you're going to be bankrupt after a while.
My goodness.
Wow.
My goodness.
I feel like a lot of people who have broken relationships and marital issues, the focus is the privacy.
That's right.
And it's not the perspective of responsibility.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that.
We have Thomas Hunter.
Yeah, come on.
And he says there were no marriage ceremonies back in the Bible days. The only occurrence was when Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding. Most of the time, the man knew the woman, and then that was his wife. When he says knew the woman, he's talking about sexual intercourse. Once he knew her, then she became his wife. That is correct.
That's it. Yeah, but Pastor, you want to answer that before I get to it, or?
Go ahead. I'm not going to be the bad guy tonight. Y'all
here's the thing. Right. Here's the thing. To do it unto God is what makes it a holy matrimony.
Uh-huh. Come on.
The commitment is unto God.
Yes.
It is not to one another. You can know her all day, but until you commit that to God, there is the commitment.
I got to also add to what you just said because here's the thing. You're not going to commit anything to God that's already been corrupted.
That's right. Oh, my. That's right.
That's real messy right there. You are not going to commit anything to God that's already been corrupted.
My goodness.
Y'all hear that, y'all?
My goodness.
This is good. Some good stuff.
My goodness.
This is some good stuff, y'all. He said, Adam and Eve, no ceremony. We can get that same thing. Does marriage need to take place? Yes, it does. Marriage is nothing really but a business contract. That's not scripture. She or he is not entitled until that last name is changed. No.
Well, basically what we're doing here, guys, we're changing the narrative because there's a lot of things that this world's system has continuously fed us till we began to believe it. But then you have to remember that the Institute of Marriage is created and was created by God. So we have to take it into context as far as what God says about it and not what we've heard. Uh-huh. So if it's not in the Word.
Exactly.
Then it's.
Yeah, yes. And like a business. What do you mean by business contract? Because marriage is not a business agreement.
It's a covenant agreement.
Let me give some balance to that.
All right,
Marriage is about business. It is a contractual agreement, but most of all, it's an internal submission to God and to the mate that you're trying to give your life
There's
to.
There's the balance. Okay.
And a lot of times, because the business of marriage is not a priority, this is why people stay broke in marriage. The reason why, you know, And I'm going to say this because God gave it to me just like this. And I have to say this just like this. And I wrote it down. Orgasm should not be more important than organizational in your home.
That's true. That's true.
Orgasm should not be more important.
Should not be. Come on.
Organization in your house.
That's
my
right.
goodness.
That's right.
My goodness.
And because the business aspect is not as important as the physical or the sexual aspect, you having a lot of sex, but you're still over your head in debt. You're having a lot of intimacy and sex, but you still broke as Job's turkey.
Not the turkey.
I believe that if we are going to have holy matrimony, business has to be a top priority in the marriage. What did God tell Adam and Eve from a biblical standpoint? God told Adam and Eve, I'm giving y'all a vineyard. I want you to till the ground. I want you to build it. I want you to attend to the animals, attend to the harvest, attend to these things that you both have to live in. Now, I'm really messing up.
Because
it is difficult to be sexual with someone who is not taking bills seriously. Wait a minute. And a lot of women, if they be honest, they don't feel sexual with their husbands and want to be sexual with their mates because their mates are dropping the ball in business.
My goodness.
Yeah, here's the thing too. And what he's saying is, he's saying that you can have a commitment without the marriage ceremony.
He's been
tainted, also open spiritually to a lot of things in the word. We religiously follow traditions that salvation does not teach. Romance without finance is nonsense. Yes, Thomas, I understand what you're saying, but there were no weddings, like the services. I've not seen that in the Bible where there were actually weddings in the Bible. I believe that was something that we've came up with. But if you're committed without the marriage, then you just really have somebody that you really could. And I believe that's where the ownership comes in, because when you give yourself to somebody intimately, for some reason, there's a level of ownership that we take.
Because you become
one with that person. You are now, some of us don't commit with that because some of us just let's just be real now. Now, you're not going to commit to somebody who you don't see you being with the rest of your life. Some of us do commit to some people that, like he said, are damaged. And you don't want to bring that presentation to God and it's damaged. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, you can be committed, but to be married, there's a whole nother level of commitment.
A whole dimension.
There's a whole nother level of commitment for it to be right in the eyesight of God.
Right. And listen,
he that findeth a wife and findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. You didn't say me go down and get a wedding and, you know, I believe that man has really put that in place. So again,
because the thing is, we're living in a sex saturated culture.
That's what this world has become, man. Yeah. Sex is the driving force for everything selling right now.
And you know what? That brings me to Al West comment. He says that sex doesn't make you love someone. He said he's saying true intimacy can come from conversation.
Al West says, Al West says this, Chris. Al West says, marriage seems like a piece of paper and it's ultimately a business agreement, but a piece of paper can't make you committed. Only two hearts that agree.
Now, I'm going to ask this.
Come on.
Can anybody own a house without paperwork?
No. can you drive a car without a license?
Right. You can't drive a car without a license. Right.
You can't even drive a car without insurance paper.
Come on.
You got to have, yes, it is. It's an institution.
And every institution has a certain way in which they are supposed to operate in order for there to be acceptance by the institution that they are in. Now, if you are not a believer, then I can understand you having rebuttal against the institution of marriage. But if you are a believer and you are still rebuttaling and still not understanding the standard of the institution that you are a part of, there's a problem with that.
Hmm.
And I never thought that I would see the day where believers don't even believe as the institution of marriage no more.
My goodness.
They rather have a jump off. They rather have a friend with benefits. They rather have all of these, I'm going to give you what I can give you opposed to giving you what's required.
Yeah.
And the paper speaks to a greater value of an inner heart condition towards God. I love God, and so I want to do what is acceptable in his sight. And I don't want anything or anyone to bring contention between me and my relationship with God. And so even if God wants me to bring my sexuality under subjection and bring my sex life into order by connecting me to someone in covenant, it's not just protecting you, but it's protecting everyone that's around.
My goodness.
So this is the question he said. He said marriage is an institution. And the institution of marriage is what taints the commitment. I need you to explain that.
Let me have that mouse.
I need you to explain that, Thomas.
I need a little explanation as well.
And when we said that there were no weddings, but there is marriage in the Bible.
Yeah, there definitely is.
You never seen no wedding ceremonies. They never did the wedding ceremony, you know, where the father gave away the daughter, you know.
Actually, let's look at what God did with Eve.
Come on.
The Bible says that God presented,
Eve
to Adam.
Yeah, he presented her. Exactly.
The father presented the daughter to Adam and said, "This is who I created for you."
Yes.
Now, if that don't look like marriage or a ceremony, then I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's only symbolic of what's happening internally.
Yeah. So he said, he's been married for 22 years, now divorced. Things changed in that institution. It became more business than commitment. I'm a believer, but that then me, I should question things. I need clarity. So please, Bishop, with all due respect, I don't understand what you're saying, Thomas. You got a little typo.
So basically what he's saying is he's been married for 22 years and he's now divorced. He said things changed in that institution. It became more business than commitment. He is a believer, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't question things. He said he needs clarity. So Bishop, he says, please, with all due respect, I can question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can question.
Yeah, well, I think you're basing it on the institution that you were in. And because, Matari, that's a good question. Who changed the commitment? Who made it a business? Who made it up? Because God has given you the authority and the authority over the family. So where was the commitment agreement changed? And again, if it changed, was this the right person that you were supposed to? Well, we know it wasn't because you said you was married for 22 years. So apparently that institution that you got in with that person was absolutely not.
No. We can't say that because sometimes as human beings, we do make decisions that sometimes cause us to do things outside of what, I mean, she could have been.
Matara, I was about to say that. Thank you, Matara. She took it out.
She could have been. But then things in their marriage went awry and they made decisions.
Because of that scripture right there, I really don't believe it's a business because we making this like it's some type of property. When you call it a business agreement, and I, like I said, sometimes we got to be very careful with wording because it can change the institution of what that word means.
Uh-huh.
The scripture says that what God has joined together. When God has joined together, when God don't put no business deals together, I'm sorry. He put blessings in place because there was a promise that he's given for everybody.
Okay.
You know, there's a promise that God has given for everybody.
Okay.
The land of what? Milk and honey. God has a blessing for everybody. So at the end of the day, there is not a, you don't have, for business to me, I believe there's something that you have to do to actually be where you're trying to go.
Okay,
but
so
when God is in it, you don't have to do anything.
Let me give can I be transparent?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so Jesse and I, when we first got married, a lot of business in our marriage was not being taken care of correctly, because as the head of our house, so first of all, I lost my job the day before we got married, and I believe that was God ordained, because
I hate that too, Tisha.
In that moment, what God did was he started to raise up in Jesse a provider. Now he loves providing for me. So the thing is, God had to take us through that moment where things weren't as where we went through a couple of evictions, and we went through some things that could have torn us apart if we were only worried about the business aspect. But because my commitment to my marriage and my love for my husband and God, I went to him about a lot of things, and he helped me to get through these things. Not only get through them, but where Jesse was weak, he allowed me to be that person to help him and make him a little stronger. I'm not saying that everything that we got going on is perfect in business, but we don't handle our marriage like a business. What we handle our marriage as,
purpose.
Two people coming together to do the will of God, and God helps us do everything else.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
what we do. And I mean, I don't know about anybody because else, the thing is, like I said, love it.
Because the thing is, Pastor, the thing is, marriage to me is it's enjoyment.
It is.
Sex, God loves sex. God loves it.
Okay, he created
it. He created it for the enjoyment of marriage, for two married people. That's not a business agreement. That is the hallelujah anyhow. That is hallelujah anyhow.
But let me tell you, what happens sometimes is because when we get into the relationship, we can't let go of the fact that he messed up the money, or she didn't help do these finances right, or he didn't do this or she didn't do that, and we hold on to those didn'ts. And instead of holding on to those didn'ts, what we need to do is we need to start looking at the way God look at it, and he will help us to help that person make it through. Because when I see the flaw in my husband, then I know that every flaw has an answer from the Lord. So God can help me, and then I can start looking at his issue like God do, and I can say, oh, okay. And then I come at him a different way, which is no longer natural, which is more spiritual. So therefore, my commitment, my love, and ministry starts at home. So with all of those things working together and the purpose of what God have us to do, this thing works. It works.
It does. And you know, I just want to add this to the equation as well, is that we cannot stop evolving with each other.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
The problem with a lot of people is that they clock out on one another.
Yeah.
And especially when you've been with somebody 20 something years, you can lose touch easily if one party is evolving and the other party think that they've mastered the other person.
Yes.
And that's when you have to say, okay, and you have to have a conversation, not with a girlfriend, not with your mama and your daddy, not with your sisters and your brother. That's when you got to have a conversation, a straight up heart to heart, knock down, drag out with God and say, okay, God, look, I need your wisdom as to how to handle this situation. Because as a wife, I want to do good with
this. That's
true. But if I handle it myself, I know I'm going to mess it up. And what God does is God allows us in that marriage, in that union, in us two becoming inseparable, and becoming one. What he does is he allows us to gain different perspective. He teaches us how to deal with people who are hard to get along with. You have to take business in school for 4 years, sometimes 2 years, in order to learn business. You cannot expect someone to come into a marriage and automatically be the greatest at business in a marriage.
See, absolutely. And one comment he had up here, Pastor, he said that people get married, but marriage ends in divorce. And he said, just like sin, people sin too, so there's nobody perfect. Here's the thing with that. God joins together the marriage, but if the marriage ends up in divorce, that is not God.
That's not God.
That ain't got nothing. If it ended up in divorce, that means God was totally left out of it. It had nothing to do with God. Because even when we sin, we're not listening to God. Because everything that we have, everything as an individual is a choice of ours. It don't just happen. Sin is a choice.
And when we
everything
in pain,
we do is a choice.
Right.
Sin is a choice. We don't just sin. We are presented with it. Right. And we choose to do it.
And sometimes a lot of us, we don't want to take the easy way out, and it goes because it gets too hard.
Exactly. And it goes back to what Pastor Chris said in the beginning. It's taking responsibility. God has given us a responsibility. He's yes. given us the responsibility yes. over what he's given us.
And some of us will stay on our job no matter how bad that job is, no matter how hard that job is, because we have a responsibility
That's right.
to that job.
That's right.
But when we get married, when it gets too hard, then we feel like, okay, we're not saying this to you, Thomas, specifically. But what we are saying is a lot of times in those relationships, too, when things start, you said it doesn't feel good when business taints the commitment. See, the thing about it is, what we have to remember is when we're in pain, instead of us taking that pain and lashing out at the person that hurt us, we got to take it to the one that can heal us of that pain so we can see past it. Because once you get in that cycle, it's like a figure eight. You're not going anywhere.
Everyone on this, me, Pastor Chris, and my wife, trust me, we go way back. And all of us have been in situations where we stayed in it too long.
Mm-hmm. My Lord.
Yeah.
Where we stayed.
That figure eight.
Where we stayed in it just too long.
Staying in it.
We stayed in it for looping. The comfort of people.
Or
trying to please other people and just trying to show this level of fight.
Or it's familiar to you. I mean, what if I leave him and get with a fool that's worse than him?
Yeah.
So I know this. I know he's crazy. I'm going to stay right here.
Like I said, it goes back to, like I said, what we were saying in the beginning, because everybody's process is different. But as a believer, when we hooking up with somebody, we got to really try to make sure that they're either through their process or we can be a person that helps them through that process. Because if we're not able to do that, then we're just in a relationship just existing.
And like,
absolutely.
We're just existing.
I'm going to piggyback on what you said, Doctor, when you were saying basically that Adam knew her before he became intimate with her. Let me tell you, when I first started dating Jesse, God showed me glimpses of who he is, not who he was at the time. Because who he was at the time, I have to admit, it's some words that I can use on this podcast that God would not be pleased with.
You want me to say it for you?
No, baby. Please don't say it. Please don't say it. It was some ugly situations a lot of times.
Yes.
However, God kept showing me glimpses of who he was.
Yes.
And this is even before we became, Lord forgive, well, God already forgave us, intimate. So yes. All I'm saying is, that goes back to what Dr. Chris Burton was saying. You have to learn to know this person. Know where they are in their process. Go into relationships with, I have to have an understanding that this person could be in the middle of their process.
That's right. That's right.
This person could be at the very beginning of their process. But if I come into this process acting as though they have to be perfect for me,
that's right.
Then I might get let down. I might get disappointed. I might get hurt. But that doesn't mean that's a bad person. It just means that where we both are in our lives, in the process that we're in, it may not have connected or it may not have been good for one another. Let's read some comments from our viewers.
Can I just say this before we do
that? Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Yes, go ahead, Pastor.
Because here's what the Lord just said to me.
Go ahead. Come on now.
You will fail if you do not learn how to forgive.
Come on.
Speak on it.
You will fail from the beginning of your relationship or your marriage if you don't have a healthy forgiveness pattern.
My goodness.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
My goodness.
And the problem with a lot of people, if they just really be honest, is that they did not think of the person they let go worthy enough of their forgiveness to keep up.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow. That's deep,
Some
Pastor.
People would still be married today if they could have a level of compassion that I married someone that wasn't perfect.
Wow.
I married someone that had issues.
Yeah.
I married someone who I really did not really know according to knowledge.
Exactly.
And so when you don't have a healthy forgiveness pattern in your life, if you hold on to aughts, if you hold on to things that's happened, and if you are still seeing men as trees, glory.
Wow.
Because a lot of times we can look at a person and be looking at them out of the lenses of what we have experienced in the past.
That's
and we're not even seeing them for who they really are.
That's right.
And so unforgiveness will distort your ability to have a successful intimate relationship with anybody.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's right. You're right. You're right, Bishop.
You're right on it.
You're right.
We have you need to ask these questions. Can you forgive in premarital counseling?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Do you hold aughts?
Do you hold? Come on.
Are you
have,
petty?
You better ask them questions. Yes.
You have a vindication mentality. Are you busting windows out your car, out the other person's cars? Are you wanting to knock boots without paying for them?
Huh.
Wow. All that different kind of stuff.
All of that.
But you know what, Pastor?
All of
a
that.
Lot of us would be able to find this stuff out if our focus going into relationship wasn't only intimate.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely, Thomas. We will, definitely. I will definitely. Pastor Chris, man, we love you, man. I promise you. We are actually going to be getting with Pastor Chris and his wife, and we're going to do a big conference in Atlanta, y'all.
Right.
Next year.
Amen.
Me and Chris, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to get this, and we're going to present it to y'all, and we're going to put something really big together.
Right.
We're going to do a relationship service conference in next year in Atlanta, y'all. So y'all be looking out for that. We're gonna give y'all further details. We thank God for Pastor Chris. He's the pastor of Pastor. I don't want to be your advertiser, but please, man, let's just give him your address, the church you go to, man, so they can connect with you, man.
Absolutely. The name of the church is called the Recovery House.
Yes.
Church
yes.
International.
Amen.
And the address is 152 Longview Road in Fayetteville, Georgia. I'll make sure that I put it in the comments.
Yeah, make sure you put it in the comments,
who,
man, so they can connect
with
you.
Would like to come and support.
Amen.
But yes.
People really need healing and recovery.
Yes.
In
yes.
the area of their romantic life.
Yes.
They really need to really allow God to deal with those inner workings that's working against them.
Yeah.
And it's not too late.
My Lord, my Lord.
Let's give a burp.
I don't think we understand how detrimental it is for us to hold on to things that's working against us.
Yes.
Right. That's working against us.
That deserves a praise right there, y'all. That deserves a praise. I'm sorry. There's a praise right there. And I feel my hip, Pastor.
Boy, come on with it. You feel it too?
I feel my hip. That deserved a praise right there,
yeah,
y'all.
Girl.
And y'all, we want to pause for a quick little station identification.
That's right.
We're coming to you live from the Sacred Sound Studios here in Houston, Texas.
Right. That's
y'all,
right.
please
That's
look
right.
them up. If y'all need any media needs, uh-huh. any recording needs, these are the guys you want to be connected to.
Come on, y'all.
And most of all, they're saved, y'all.
Yeah.
They're saved. So
it
is nothing for saved people to get your work and take care of it like it's their own. So I highly recommend them, y'all. I highly recommend. There you go.
Sacred Stone Studios.
I highly recommend you guys.
Sacred Stone Studios.
If you're in the Houston area and if you're coming through the Houston area, look them up. I promise you they're going to take care of you.
We have Pastor a couple Chris's, of birthday shots. Shout-outs, too. We have a birthday shout-out
to you, Pastor
Sean,
Chris.
To Uncle Sam, and to Aunt Shirley.
Okay, these
happy
are my relatives,
birthday,
y'all.
Happy birthday.
We did a birthday shout-out at the beginning of the program, Dad. Thank you for coming in.
And we going to do a birthday shout-out in the end. We
but
love
y'all,
you guys.
Our time is, hey, before we close, Pastor Chris, are you still there with us, Pastor Chris?
I believe.
I think Pastor Chris has hung up. Yes, it's okay. But look, y'all. Look, y'all, this is our time. Our time is up. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas.
That's right.
And we love
Happy
you guys.
Happy birthday to Al West.
Happy birthday, Al West. Yes.
We love you dearly.
Happy birthday, Al West, man. 22 years
That's
young.
That's right.
Happy
That's
birthday,
right.
Al West.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Al West. Y'all, we love y'all. We love y'all. Please like and share. Please like
That's
and share.
Right.
Please like and share this video.
We're trying to
change the narrative
of
the perspective of everybody's thinking. Like Pastor Chris said, there's healing that's needed. There's a healing that needs to take place in our world today.
Amen.
And family is what's being attacked. And we're doing whatever we got to do to come against the plans of the enemy that desires to steal, kill, and destroy our families.
That's right.
Our families.
That's right.
Because without family, then you don't have the church. So we want to build the families, y'all. I desire to fill the family.
You don't have the nation. Yes.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while be absent. And
that's
we bless
right.
you, God. We bless for every marriage that was on the line, every
yes,
relationship.
Yes.
We bless them, God. We honor you, God, because
yes.
we know, God, that without you, God,
without
we
you,
are nothing
Lord,
without
we
you.
Are nothing.
And we will not try to walk this journey and walk this this pathway
we're
without you.
We're
so we love
trying.
You, God, and we love you, God. That's anybody right. that want to talk after that, Thomas left his number. Anybody else, man, we here, Pastor Chris, we here. Don't forget, y'all, Sacred Stone Studios, baby. My wife, Pastor Free. Pastor Lady Free. I'm Pastor Jay. We signing out, y'all.
We are signing out.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.